The following program contains adult language and mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
One more time.
Hey everybody, welcome to One Song Each, the podcast of banter between three idiots about some dumb songs and shit. I'm a Lou Machine. With me is
Diablo Frank
and
Mr. Fix-It.
I don't want to start.
I think Mr. Fix-It.
No, I'll let Frank go first.
Mr. Fix-It.
No, Frank.
Mr. Fix-It.
Because you've played us like 15 songs in a row.
I'm sure
you
can
pick one of those. So go ahead and play the song.
I want to hear Frank's story.
All right.
Is this a play song first, then tell story, or is this a...
Nah, because we all know this song. The song I picked is Interpol's 2005 single, Evil.
Oh, that's on my list somewhere, too.
Nice. Okay.
I didn't attribute a story to it. I just wanted to talk about it, so I'm glad you're going to do it. I can knock it out.
I'm trying to remember where I was exposed to this song first. I want to say that it was Mr. Fix-It's buddy, Cheeto, had burned like a CD of vintage porn, some songs, and some videos, sometimes involving vintage-ish porn. But he also had some music videos, and one of them was for Evil.
That sounds like my buddy Cheeto right there.
The video is very interesting. If you haven't seen it, it basically takes place at the scene of a car crash, probably fatal. One of the victims in the car crash is a puppet. And I don't remember, was everybody a puppet or was it just the one?
No, just him.
And this puppet is particularly disturbing because it mostly looks like one of the human characters from like a Sesame Street or something. But they went that extra step to give him glassy eyes and teeth, porcelain teeth. And if you've never seen when they do this, it's not done very often. I think Dark Crystal is probably an example of them going that route. It's very unnerving. It's not what you expect out of your puppets. You really expect that felt thing going on. And so this guy's dancing weirdly in front of this traumatic collision, ambulance lights flashing. He's blinking, he's talking, his mouth's moving. Very, very peculiar.
I want to listen to the song.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. This song is fucking great.
Rosemary, heaven restores you in life. You're coming with me through the aging, the fearing, the strife. It's the smiling on the package, it's the faces in the sand. It's the thought that moves you upward, embracing me with two hands. Right, we'll take you places, yeah, maybe to the beach. When your friends, they do come crying, tell them now your pleasure's set upon slow release. On trial.
I know you got this off of that CD.
I believe so. I believe that was my introduction. Yeah.
I follow the studio, I think, that created this puppet for this video. They did a bunch of other stuff.
It's very well done. I know that kind of marionette type stuff that they're doing there, especially in front of live action, is probably very difficult to pull off. And I love his little dad dancing, too. It was Drake.
I had that dead look in his eyes.
Yeah.
You're right. The teeth are very unnerving.
Very much. And he's got the tongue, too. That doesn't help.
I don't know. So the studio...
The gums, too. Yeah. He's got pink gums. He's like dentures in his face.
The studio that did this sculpt also did that art series. I'm sure you've seen him, where it's like a weird, like, alien-looking guy. And he's into these, like, weird suburban settings. Two big dudes are holding him back with this woman. And they're, like, pouring milk on her and stuff. And it looks like a weird...
No,
you haven't
seen
them?
This, no.
They're really, really off-putting art pieces. That studio that did this guy also did the alien for that artist. Or being for that artist. I don't know if he's supposed to be an alien, but...
It's so funny that you bring that up, dude. Because every time Cheeto would give me a disc, I was kind of hesitant
what am I going to open up here?
Yeah, he just had this. He had a really weird sense of humor. Like, hey, I burnt you a disc. You'll put it on your computer. You'll see why. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And yes, you'd have some vintage porn with some cool music and just really random shit.
The band enjoyed his 70s Bush.
It's just crazy how the mouth is mimicking the song so well.
Yeah.
But the eyes don't match what the mouth is doing.
Well, and the eyes are too wide and they're very cartoony. And then you have those very realistic teeth and tongue.
Look at the brow.
Yeah.
With no solace.
Ooh, yeah, that is creepy. Oh, rapey too. Oh, so they have these, it's this bizarre alien creature who's taking a shit, taking off skin suits and trying to molest women and hanging out at slumber parties where the women are all like live action, real women. And this one puppet is in the mix.
You can see the similarities in the sculpt, the weird semi-featureless, but not featureless face or whatever.
There's a lack of distinct features. And then you have these extremely detailed teeth, but then the nose is a mass, no actual nostrils or anything. Mr. Fix, do you want to describe what else? What happens in this video? What are we seeing?
It was a car wreck, and I'm assuming the puppet and his lover were wounded, and his lover, I'm assuming, died? Or someone, there's a woman that
Well, she's still breathing when they get her in the ambulance.
Yeah, but I don't know if she's in the other
clear.
Vehicle, because it looks like two vehicles slammed into each other. He's just being transported to the hospital as we're watching him sing.
They put the ambi bag on him, and they take him into surgery.
So why did you pick this song?
And then at the end, he's dancing, and the room is cleared, and then they turn the lights.
Like this creepy...
So I think it's pretty clear he dies. That's the go. Oh, okay. They leave the room, and they turn out the lights. And he's left there alone.
That's his body leaving.
Yeah, that's his spirit in the operating room, I think. I dug the song. I thought it was a great freaking song. I ended up buying a total of 3 Interpol albums before I kind of lost interest.
Yeah.
Interpol is a nice band. They got a strong Joy Division influence. You can't miss it. I love the name Interpol. I love the concept of an Interpol. It's just very cool, very swinging 60s, Bonding Agents kind of thing. I liked a number of their songs, but I never liked either of their songs as much as I liked Evil. Evil was a song that just got stuck in my brain for the longest time. And you look at the lyrics, Rosemary, heaven restores you in life, coming with me through the aging, the fear, and the strife. It's the smiling on the package, it's the face in the sand. It's the thought that holds you upwards, embracing me with two hands. Right will take you places, yeah, maybe to the beach. When your friends, they do come crying, tell them how your pleasure's set upon slow release. Hey, wait, great smile, sensitive to fate, not denial. But hey, who's on trial? It took a lifespan with no cellmate, the long way back. Sandy, why can't we look the other way? He speaks about trouble, yeah, we think about the land. We smile like all people, feeling real tan. I can take you places. Do you need a new man? Wipe the pollen from the faces. Make revision to a dream while you wait in the van. Leave some shards upon the belly. Leave some grease inside my hand. It's a sentimental jury in the makings of a good plan. You've come to love me lightly. You've come to hold me tight. Is this motion everlasting, or do shudders pass in the night? That's the majority of the lyrics, aside from the repeating chorus. This was still the early days of the internet when this song came out, relatively speaking. You didn't have immediate, easy access to the lyrics of every song ever. There was actually a time when copyrights and songwriters' rights were able to prevent lyrics from appearing on the internet. So mostly I went off of what I heard, and most of the lyrics are fairly clear as sung by the band. But when I would hear this song, I had my own interpretation of this. The way that I heard this song, and I'm sure a ton of this is me projecting my own bullshit on the song. My interpretation is the Rosemary was, he was basically singing to his right hand, his stroke in hand. I think the shards upon the belly was him coming on his own belly. The grease in the hand was the lubricant.
I think you mentioned this to me once.
Right. And it probably helped that for many years I drove a van too. And so my interpretation of this, well, this is a person who has all these, like, why can't you look the other way? He judges his potential mates harshly. He's a critical person, but also filled with self-doubt and probably discounting people that could be in his life to avoid the pain or avoid being judged himself. And so he just ends up excluding any, like, romantic love in his life. It's sentimental jury and the makings of a good plan. This guy is just going to jerk off for the rest of his life. He's never going to put himself out there. But he's also at the same time asking himself, why do I have to be so critical? Why do I have to be so harsh? Why can't I just look the other way at other person's faults? Why can't I be honest about my own faults and move on with my life and actually have this love that's going to last me into the end of my life? But if nothing else, I've always got old Rosemary. Rosemary will last with me for the rest of my life, regardless of if I ever get past my old bullshit and have somebody else in my life. So obviously that was me projecting. Now, if you listen to the lyrics, though, there's a lot of room for interpretation there. I don't know. Have you guys had any? What is your interpretation of this song?
I have never had any interpretation of this song.
No. It just sounded good?
Yeah.
Cool, yeah, video. I don't, yeah, because a lot of it is just sort of imagery.
Yeah.
They're just saying imagery. Mm-hmm. So I've never thought
and there's a lot of bands
enough.
That do, like Michael Stipe and R.E.M. I defy you to tell me what an REM song is actually about more often than not, because it's all about these images. When you actually look at the lyrics, and he won't answer you if you ask him, what the fuck is this song about? Most REM songs, with the exception of something obvious like Everybody Hurts, you don't know what the fuck the song is actually about. You know?
Orange Crush, about a soda pop.
Or it's about Agent Orange.
No. He's got his smile. He's got his Orange Crush.
I've got my smile. So, I just held on to my interpretation of the song for years. You know, the song came out in 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. So you're talking about 13 years of having that interpretation in my mind. So for some reason, possibly because I was like, wow, it was a great song, maybe you ought to do that for one song each, I actually looked at the Wikipedia page and looked into it. No. The most common belief about what the song is about is the Rosemary of the song is Rosemary West, wife of Fred West, teenage woman in England who would be hanging out at the bus stop, and this creepy older guy, like 20 years her senior, would come up and flirt with her and shit. He manages to woo her as a teenager, like 14, 15 years old, out of her parents' home to come live with him, shack up with him. Parents hated it. Parents were constantly calling the cops, trying to break them up. Couldn't get them broke up. He had already had at least one child from another marriage, but he was also a serial rapist. And so he gets popped and he goes to prison. And because of circumstances, Rosemary ends up raising his child for the time period that he's in prison. Shortly before he's going to be released from prison, Rosemary murders his child. He comes back and he's okay with it. Not only that, but then Fred and Rosemary West then proceed to make a habit of going up and picking up teenage and 20-something year old girls, taking them back to their trailer, committing sadistic sexual acts against them, murdering them, and then burying the bodies. They finally get caught. Fred dies in prison. Rosemary, I think she finally got out a few years ago, but she spent years in prison for being his accomplice. She has stated, A, I had mental problems, and B, it was all Fred. Fred's the one who was the mastermind. I was an abused wife, and I just did what he told me to do. But the reason why she spent decades in prison was because they had plenty enough proof to show that she was involved with the sexual acts. Also, they, between them, conceived multiple children, and if they didn't like the kid, they'd kill the successive kids. So they killed other people's kids, they killed their own kids, both from his union with his first wife. Oh, and they murdered his wife too, his first wife, because his first wife was trying to find out what happened to her kids, so eventually they had to off her too. But they did not kill, if I remember correctly, they did not kill all the children he had with his first wife, so they just lied to these kids that they liked enough to keep alive about what happened to their mommy and to their sister or what have you. And this went on for years and years. Apparently these guys were active for something like 15, 20 years as serial killers.
What?
Before they got busted finally, and there's this great big scandal in the UK. Being that it was the UK, we never heard about it. I can't believe through osmosis or whatever that I'd never heard about these crimes. But yeah, so my interpretation of that song was completely wrong, and the fact that I saw a lot of myself in my interpretation of that song only to find out what this song was actually about is like, holy fucking shit, this is all very disquieting things to come across.
I don't like that song anymore.
I know, man.
I was just joking. I don't even like that song. I'm just joking.
So, yeah, how about that? How's that for some fucking holy shit? Holy, I did not know that Lord was the case. So, I know that I've already sung the song, or not sung the song, but I've read the lyrics to you guys already.
Do it again.
Let's look at these lyrics again, recognizing this new context. It's the smiling on the package. It's the faces in the sand. It's the thought that holds you upwards, embracing you with two hands. Right, we'll take you places. Yeah, maybe to the beach. When your friends, they do come crying, tell them how your pleasure's set on slow release. Because they would sexually torture these people for long periods of time, too. It took a lifespan with no cellmate. The long way back, Sandy, why can't we look the other way? He speaks about travel. Yeah, we think about the land. We smile like all the people, feeling real tan. I can take you places. Do you need a new man? Wipe the pollen from the faces. Make revision to a dream while you wait in the van.
I guess the title of the song now makes sense.
Gives it away.
Well, again, it's a sentimental jury. They were sentimental enough not to kill Rosemary or what have you. She got to live and eventually be released. You know, it's like, you go back, it's just like, so yeah, it's really fucking fucked. So hey, try to enjoy evil from now on and not feel completely disgusted and disturbed.
Yeah, thanks, Frank.
I am a noted ruiner, but I had to, you could see how I had to share that shit though.
Yeah.
Once I came across
that's insane.
That's fucking insane. I don't know if Interpol has ever confirmed that to be the case, but that is the consensus opinion of what that song is about. And when it's you review really, the lyrics
yeah,
again, it's like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mean, the name of the song is Evil. I mean, right. it makes yeah. a lot of sense.
I always thought that was weird that the name of the song was Evil, but right. I just assumed something else.
And now we know.
Maybe we should just wrap the episode up. Yeah,
I told you, you should let me be the close. That. Well, actually, I think that maybe for the mental health of our audience, we should probably lighten the mood after this supremely dark opening.
Yeah, Mac.
Or you guys can pick some more fucked up songs and we'll do those.
Hold on, let me get back to my list.
You got anything good and fucked up for us, Mac?
No.
Because Fix-It seems to still be holding out on
yeah.
us.
Yeah. I can do a fucked up one. You want to do a fucked up one?
Let's go fucked up.
All right.
So, hey, Fix-It, you already picked your song?
No, I'm going to let him go next because I'd have to reach into my bag and find some.
That's not a good turn of phrase in this context.
Catch you with my death bag.
I'm going to have to reach into my bag and find something. I guess this will be our Halloween episode.
If I see the morning.
So my song is 99 Ways to Die by Megadeth. This was on the 1993 soundtrack to the Beavis and Butthead Experience.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Now, is that the movie? No, that was Beavis and Butthead to America.
I thought that, hold on. Well, now let me confirm. Maybe I just said it wrong. Probably get that right. So which one was the Beavis and Butthead Experience?
I think maybe it was just TV related, or maybe it was like another follow-up after the movie, because I think the movie soundtrack did pretty well.
Okay, yeah. The Beavis and Butthead Experience is a compilation album. That's all.
Okay. So is it stuff that they played on the show or what?
No, I think it had...
Well, clearly not, because they made this song specifically for the Beavis and Butthead, you said, right?
I don't know if they made it specifically for, but they just put it on there.
But if it debuted there, then they wouldn't have had a music
video. I want
to
say it was just a bunch of tracks.
Because you couldn't parody that music video.
No. So I think they just compiled a bunch of music and then like they had skits in it. I'm trying to remember, because okay. I remember that there was, I think there was a...
It was like a sampler album that they turned into a theme album.
Like Anthrax covered a Beastie Boys track. Was that this album? Yeah, Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun by the Beastie Boys. Anthrax covered it. Like, you have Nirvana, Anthrax, Megadeth, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Was that the one that had
Primus.
I Hate Myself and Want to Die by Nirvana?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I forgot about that video. That's not what I wanted to talk about.
if we're going dark, what was that video about?
The song 99 Ways to Die.
By the way, was that before or after Van Halen's Right Now? It was after, right?
It was 93. So when was Right Now?
I think Right Now is like 91. So okay. Right Now, for those who don't know, is a song where they're singing, while they're singing, the video showing you a bunch of factoids about mostly bad shit that's happening in the world, a lot of environmental shit and stuff like that. This video is a lot more specific. Instead, they're telling you about the toll of gun violence on children. You're 17 more times likely to die from a bullet than AIDS if you're a child. How more children die from bullets than natural causes, which makes sense because children don't die from natural causes because they're children. So that's not natural for them right. to die. That's a bullshit statistic. The video is full of children playing with guns and imperiled as a result.
Well, and then it ends with just a constant show of people, of children who had been killed. It's like showing their yearbook
right,
photos.
Right, and like actual, like Runaway Train. Which I think probably derivative it was derivative as well, where they're showing you actual pictures of actual victims and the ages in which they were killed by a gun.
It's like, whoa, lots
this
of imagery.
Yeah, and see, Dave Mustaine, my understanding is he's conservative, but not on this issue.
Well, at least not in 1993. Yeah. I mean, now your political views change as you get older. Sure. So, holy hell. Although I think even most sane gun owners are anti-guns killing kids. I think more like, hey, you should be a responsible gun owner and lock your shit away, put it in a safe.
It did say guns equal suck at one point in the video.
Didn't it? Yeah, okay. So that's, I think he's probably changed his tune on that a bit. But anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. Quit trying to force a narrative here. I'm not talking about a narrative.
Well, I mean, if we're going dark in this episode, that definitely was dark.
It's dark, but we can go dark a different way. So anyway, let me get back to the lyrics, because now I had to start Googling other The song is basically talking about somebody who can't die. So they're just trying to come up with different ways to kill themselves over and over and over again.
Why can't they die?
It doesn't matter. It's a song.
He's a Highlander?
It doesn't matter. It's a song. The hook is, we're not ready to see you yet. Like, you got to go back. We're not ready to see you yet. And you're, you know, like, basically, he's getting to the pearly gates. And they're like, not ready to see you yet. Yeah, you got to go back down to earth, and then you kill again. Right. Not attempted suicide. It's goofier than that.
Okay.
It's not, yeah.
Near-death experiences.
No, I think it's literally, we're going to write a song with how many different gnarly ways you could die. So he's saying, down another glass of courage and a shot of Thorazine. I got a short between my earphones, would kill you, wringing my hands in dismay. More. Anyway, they're coming up with gnarly ways to die over and over and over again. The band was in kind of a thrill-seeking mode at this time. They were doing like skydiving. They skydove on Headbanger's Ball with Alice in Chains and doing shit like that. So anyway, so my question to the panel, Mr. Fix-It, my question to the panel is, how you want to go out? You thought about it?
Not really.
No? You haven't thought about how your preferred method of going out is?
Hopefully quickly and without me noticing.
So like in your sleep?
That's something I really focus on.
Well, look, dude, it's something that you don't think about it?
No.
Never. Your whole life you thought about it.
Dude, I could be walking out of my bathroom and trip on something and smash my head and die. I mean, it's not like shit. I thought about it. It happens
sounds
random.
Sounds like you're thinking about it.
Random.
You don't have a preferred method.
Hopefully I'm 90 years old after fucking a 19-year-old in a blazing gun battle.
Wait, you want to get shot?
I had a 96. Just got some ass. I'm ready to go. I'm tired.
Well, why are you in a gun battle?
Yeah, where'd the gun battle come from? I thought you were going to say like coronary at climax, and you go in a gun battle.
Right. I thought you were going to have. I thought you were going to have the little death and then the big death.
That's how you go in a blazing gun battle.
After fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it would have been somebody's wife then. Probably. So that makes more sense than yeah.
You're banging a 90-year-old. How about you, Diablos Frank?
See, that's kind of tricky as far as how you want to die by natural causes. If it was suiciding. I've thought that if I was going to suicide, you know, you think about something like jumping off a bridge or something, but that seems kind of terrifying.
And, I'm not really good. I'm not good with mixed results. They don't tell you about the mixed results.
Yeah, mixed results. And that could potentially be very painful. I'd rather not have a lot of like pain and shit.
And you have jumped off a bridge before.
Yeah.
We talked about that. Hey, listen to a previous episode of One Song Each.
So my preferred is actually heroin overdose. And before you ask, I've never done heroin. So I want to do heroin two times.
Utah, give me two.
Two times. I want to do it the first time for the pleasure, the second time for the exit. So that I think that'd be a good way to go. You're going to still feel a high. You're not going to have as good of a high the second time, but then you die. So you're really not worried about the diminishing return.
All right.
So obviously there would have to be like...
in between there?
There would obviously have to be extenuating circumstances, like a terminal diagnosis or some shit like that. But yeah, I think heroin's a good way to go.
So you check yourself out a little early.
Yeah. Check it, just a little early potentially. But I think that's a good way to go. I've thought about a lot of those violent ways, and they're pretty messy and gross and not very fun. I don't get a big thrill out of like eating a bullet. You know, that's plus you never know. I always think of like Arseface or something where you like fuck it up.
Sure.
And then you're coming back from that. It's like, I don't want to. No. It's just like if you have a heroin overdose and you fucked it up, A, you probably still had some fun with the heroin. B, you get a third shot. So that's not so bad.
Yeah, and my way is fucked up.
Well, I mean, the fucking's nice, but especially in your 90s, I think there's some performance anxiety issues I wouldn't have to deal with.
Handful of Viagra. Just power down those things.
Oh, you are bleeding out of every orifice because of your blood pressure is so high? Yeah.
I look like a Tarantino death scene. Burn everywhere
with the heroin
from all the blood thinners.
I get the pleasure without having to worry about anybody else being involved. I'm covered. I'm set. So yeah, I think that's a good way to go.
Hopefully, I have 2 6 shooters each hand.
I just need 12 shots.
Plop, 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 and then I'm gone.
You just want to shoot the guns.
Well,
you're not shooting at anybody.
As long as you shoot your love gun first.
And being shot at the same time. I mean, you know. And you, Matt?
See, I don't know why you want to do anything after you've come, you know? Why do you want to, like, if you come, why do you want to follow up with a bullet?
Because usually you're still kind of pumped. The blood's pumping. I'm certain my little soldier's still at attention. It's like, it's time to check out now.
How many guns are you waving at people?
At least I have 3 deadly weapons, but I got 2 guns, so.
Do you want to ejaculate on somebody before you die? Is that what it is?
That's what the 19-year-old hooker was for.
It's all about the cock. It's really it's all about the cock.
And being 96 years old.
How do we always come back to this in every single episode? I didn't think we were going there. Probably should have assumed it. Oh, mine is I don't know. Is that a total cop out? It's a total cop out.
Absolutely.
I think it's probably going to have something to do with high speed.
You think?
At a racetrack or something like that.
Blaze of glory?
Like, it reminds me of the...
Ghost Rider style, like your car's on fire?
No, it reminds me of the, what was the Adult Swim? Not Adult Swim, Liquid Television skit.
Right engine thrust normal. Oil pressure normal.
Mouth and perspiration rate rising but steady.
Brainwave activity stable.
The magazine I sometimes write for wanted a story on Zack Hugh, better known as the God of Death, the uncrowned king of arena racing. For nearly 10 years, he dominated the action at Le Circus. Few drivers survived more than a year or two on the fast track to hell. Zack Hugh had done more than survive. In fact, he seemed to thrive on defying the odds. Sooner or later, he outraced or outlived them all. He was the best anyone had ever seen. His fans called him the man who would not die.
Stabilize, Zack! You're losing your lift!
Pulse rate continuing to rise. We're getting some spiking in the brainwave scan.
By the time I saw number 37 race, 10 years of dancing with death night after night had begun to take its toll on his nerves and his mind.
Ah, seeing Frank just jetted.
Are you talking about the Japanese one where they're racing? Yeah.
God, what was it called?
I don't know, but he has like the winner has psychic powers where he's actually destroying his competitors by making them crash while using his powers.
But he just keeps going into eternity.
He starts having, I guess, guilt because he keeps killing all these people because everyone dies. They talk about how people die on
all the crashes every time he wins.
And it was because of him. And then all of a sudden he's racing these spirits and he can't keep up with them. They're going faster and faster. So he starts using his powers to push his car faster to keep up with them, at which point he's literally just turning himself into a giant flame ball. And it's just, that's the last race that they have.
His hovercraft or whatever is falling apart. He's like,
his blood vessels are popping in his head because he's using his power to push his vehicle. And all you see is the Spectre cars like buzzing him and flying ahead of him. And they look back at him and take off and he can't keep up. And I believe, he blows up and they talk about how that's the last race. And I think it's an investigator who's like investigating, trying to figure out what happened. And they're just like, whatever this was beyond comprehension. And they left that alone. I remember seeing it. It was really vivid because they used that scene where he's dying, where he's screaming for a lot of promotional work.
I think it was like, whenever they would do the Liquid Television VHS cassette or VHS collection.
Well, I was just talking about
that would be in the commercial
night,
for it.
Because I would watch it like really late at night when I would get home from work. And I remember, they'd be like, Liquid Television next. And they would show all the little snippets.
It would
and
always in the commercial. Yeah. The one of his face going, or whatever. Yeah. And I remember that it sucks. He walked out right when I was going to talk about him. Devil and Frank and I were trying to find that on the internet forever, dude. It's a snippet of some Japanese.
No, it's in Japanese. You can find it, but you won't find the English version. They always take it down.
Well, there wasn't a lot of talking in it anyway.
No. The narration of the investigator.
I found it on
YouTube, but it's the Japanese version. Somebody tried to put translation on it, but I think it was in Spanish, even the translation. I did find an English version once, but they did that shit where they sped it up fast and had it backward where they could try to get away with it, and it wasn't very good. But I've seen the original, and the thing is, the DVD is called like Nitro something. It's an anthology of different little movies or little clips,
like shorts.
Yeah.
But what I was gonna say is, and Frank can edit whatever he's gonna contribute to that, because I know he has opinions on that video. I think skydiving and your chute not opening would be a good one.
I've been skydiving; it's pretty intense and fast.
Yeah, but I think that's like the ultimate adrenaline rush, and then it would just end, no pain. But you have like
You hear about these people that hit the earth and they survive.
People surviving all sorts of stuff. I'm saying that doing one where you didn't would probably, like, you cannot tell me there's any, like, some people say, he died on impact, and you look at yourself, you're like, I'm not so sure.
But would you want,
dude,
a chance,
if you skydive,
would you want
and hit,
a chance you survived and you hit the ground and your bones are jello and you're like in a cast for the rest of your life? And
bro, I'd aim down. I'd aim down. The people who survive are the ones who chicken out. You got to aim down.
That's what I'm telling you. You do two fistful of Viagra.
Then jump out of a plane.
After you've had sex on the plane, then you jump out. Your blood's pumping full speed. Now, if the heart attack doesn't kill you on the way down,
they're like, forgot his chute.
He's just going to stretch out his nutsack and see how much air he can catch.
What are you talking about? No, dude. That would be you ending it. You wouldn't
You'd go out like a human comet.
That's what I'm saying. Go out like a human comet. Don't stretch your nutsack out. What are you talking about? He just walked away in the middle of my one song each.
Apparently he's having a moment because he's gone. I was trying to find the lyrics to mine. That's the hard part.
Here are the lyrics. I'll just read them since we're waiting. If I see the morning hours, I'll have one more yesterday. Take life from tomorrow because I've burned out my today. If I get up to the top, I know I'll just go right back down I'll go back down the hill. I got a terminal future and it's time to write my will. Down another glass of courage and a shot of Thorazine. We're not ready to see you yet. 99 ways to die. We're not ready to see you yet. Got a short between my earphones, wringing my hands in dismay. A more efficient maniac with 2 feet in the grave and got no last words to say. Yellow yellow streak right up my spine. The gun in my mouth was real, and the taste blew my mind. In a black tie and straight jacket, man, I'm gonna try again. We're not ready to see you yet. 99 ways to die. We're not ready to see you yet. 99 ways to die.
That's pretty intense.
I don't know how to pronounce this word. Dimitas of arsenic. Another word, time I can use, Frank. Try on this tie. Never mind the tree hanging, obviously. There's only death and danger in the socket of my eyes. A playground of illusion. No one plays, they only die. There's a prison in my mind, and the bars are gonna break. I'm as mad as a hatter and strung out just the same. Taunting rigor mortis. I feel it draw me in. Metal, man.
I mean, that's definitely an unusual song to pick.
He said, let's go dark with it. So I picked a dark one.
I don't think I'll be able to keep up with you boys on this one.
Oh, another thing that reminded me of this song. You saw the dude who stole the fucking airplane from the airport?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the fucking, and he fucking, the F-18s or whatever, they scrambled jets to go after the dude. And then he like you knew you were suiciding, right? When you stole the plane. I guess they said he was talking to him on the headset going, I just cracked, man. I just cracked. I'm sorry, everybody. I cracked. And it's like, what, dude? Like, that's insane. Frank, we left all this silence here so it's easier for you to edit.
Thursday on Channel 5. Humble beginnings.
They derive so much pleasure.
Family man. Devoted wife.
Sexual and otherwise.
Psychotic serial killers.
From the pain of others.
The whole story. Starting with When Fred Met Rose. Thursday at 10 on Channel 5.
Rose rang me at work and said the police were digging the garden.
From the mind of a killer.
Come on, quick.
What on earth did you cut her out for?
In his own words.
She said she wouldn't fit in a dustbin. Her daughter in a dustbin.
The Unseen Fred West Confessions, 9 o'clock, Thursday, on Channel 5.
MTV stirring something up.
Liquid television.
A new half-hour series of the coolest animation on TV.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Take cutting-edge cartoons, plop in a few surprises, add some spice, and shake. Sunday nights at 7:30, only on MTV.
Watch me.
Liquid television, TV that melts in your face.
Liquid Television premieres Tuesday, September 22nd at 10 on MTV.
Are you ready?
Three remarkable filmmakers. Rin Taro. Yoshiaki Kawajiri. Katsuhiro Otomo. Three spectacular fantasies.
I cannot allow you to proceed.
We don't leave!
Three anime masterworks.
Zach, the race is over.
A feast for the senses. Unforgettable. Neo Tokyo.
Anyway, as I was saying, so we were talking about when you left, I was saying high speed crash. What? And then I said, it reminds me, you know, the, what was the liquid television?
Swirly thing in the bottle?
No, the dude who fucking can't stop racing or whatever, and he blows up all the fucking guys. What was the?
Oh, Running Man.
Running Man. God. So we had a conversation about Running Man. Anything to add to that?
Awesome animation. The guy who did Running Man also did probably the best, or at least one of the best segments on the Animatrix. That's always been a cartoon that I would show as what animation is capable of. It's gorgeous cartoon, really well designed, also very realistic, like American-centric realism, as opposed to the more caricature that's popular in most anime. Awesome cartoon, big fan of that one. I still have that. I recorded it on VHS and I transferred it to a DVD, but it's a transfer, the VHS rip. You can sometimes find it online, but it has a nasty tendency of getting taken down whenever it pops up in places like YouTube, so it's pretty tricky to find. Last time I tracked, anyway,
because I think the imagery is cool. You're just driving so fast and so long, like you're literally just like turning into an energy being and your car's breaking up around you and mm-hmm. bursting into flames, but you're still traveling at an incredible speed.
Yeah, it's a situation crazy. Too, there's a tendency toward that gratuitous long imagery, like you show the same thing, you know, things get stretched out in anime and manga a lot, where it's just like stretching. A lot of times it feels very gratuitous. I tend to be bored with it sometimes when they do that. But in this instance, because you're showing this guy the speed increasing and increasingly having an impact on his body and on his machine, it works in that context very well.
The way I would not like to go, but the one I think like peak going out has got to be...
Running Manning?
No, jumping out of a plane.
Okay.
Because I think that sustained adrenaline rush for the entire fall has got to be just sensory overload insane. And then when you hit, it's over, like pretty much immediately. You've yet to
jump out of a plane.
Huh?
You've yet to jump out of a plane.
No, I do not plan to. Don't want to.
So you don't want to spoil... You're like me with the heroin. You don't want to spoil it by doing anything too early. You want to wait until...
I don't want to do it. But
You think that's the best way to die?
Probably.
The loss of control. Being in this free fall, your parachute's not coming out, so you know you're going to die, and you're just waiting to die. I don't know if that moment gets stretched out to eternity, or if it's relatively quick because you're just so freaked out. But I'm too much of a control freak. It would bother me too much to not have any recourse. The great thing about a heroin overdose is you still have the opportunity to call the... You can still dial 911. You can be in quite the stupor and still call 911 and potentially survive if you change your mind.
Only on the Rolled Spine podcast will you hear the great thing about a heroin overdose. Oh man, hey, don't splice this into a promo. Anyway, yeah, so then I read the lyrics word for word, so you're gonna have to edit that to like the beginning, and okay, there's gonna be some editing, and then we left a lot of weird silence.
Okay,
so it's easier for you to cut that out too.
What about waterfalls? Did you guys have any waterfall sound effects?
No, I don't like TLC.
No.
Oh,
the waterfall.
I thought you were talking about chasing them. No, we didn't hear any of that.
Okay,
I don't think anybody that showed up.
Yeah. We were talking about in Japan how you can activate a waterfall when you're really getting some grunt on. So
there's a button called privacy, and what it does is it plays a waterfall so that...
And you can adjust the volume depending on how much grunting and chocolate raining you're doing.
Don't drop a chocolate rain. He's you're gonna add some shit that he said in while you were gone too. It's horrendous.
So a typical episode from the Rolled Spine Network.
Oh my god,
we're not Rolled Spine Network. I forgot, we are a Rolled Spine podcast. We are not a network.
Zach Hugh was the best anyone had ever seen. An investigation into his death came up with nothing. It remains a mystery. Soon after his last race, they shut down the circus. Nobody seemed to mind. Maybe they'd finally seen what they'd been coming to see all those years.
Turn, Mr. Fix-It.
This song reminds me of a situation that we were at when I was younger. So I'm going to play the song for you. It's a corrido. So
a what?
Corrido.
I'm hitting the SAP
Spanish
button on my...
Narco song. I'll show that in it.
That's something I don't hear. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Heard what?
When I was growing up, you used to actually have folks blasting their Tejano music and doing the yelps and all that kind of shit. No, seriously, when I was a kid, I remember hearing that. I know, but I'm saying, okay, Mexican music. I didn't want to be, they know, okay. And so when I was a kid, I remember you get guys blasting their music and shouting and all that kind of shit. And over the years, that disappeared. And it's not just, you know, my own life changing. It disappeared a long time ago. But I remember when I was a little kid, I used to hear that a lot. What happened with that, man? Can you speak to your people why that stopped happening? Or did it stop happening?
I just speak for my people. It still happens. You're just not around it.
I'm just not around for it.
No.
Do they keep it like a little more undercover?
The groups you hang around don't do that.
No. I mean, I lived in... And I don't remember having heard it at any point in my teenage years. I don't remember hearing that anymore.
Dude, I was at a quinceañera like 2 months ago, and they were doing it while they were drunk.
One of my old coworkers would do it anytime. Anytime he heard that accordion, he'd go, whatever like that. It's hilarious.
Now, you say the Germans brought the accordion into Mexico, right?
My understanding, yeah. The brass instruments, tubas, things of that nature.
Because you do have a lot of overlap between Mexican music and polka.
Yeah.
You'll have to specify what kind, because I'm not an expert in that. So, like, is there a specific realm of Mexican music that involves those instruments?
Regional. It tends to be regional. Right. Like, each one's different. So, corridos are like... songs of basically criminals boasting about their crimes. Mm-hmm. But the difference between this and, like, let's say hip-hop is these guys actually did this shit. Like, they pay because they want to be recognized for the crimes they commit. And so they get guys like this to sing songs about them.
Yeah, one of my coworkers was listening to your music the other day, and one of the songs was distinctly Zydeco. Yeah, so there's all kinds of influences playing around. It's not a monolithic sound or anything.
Lo velaron en la iglesia, el cura empezó a estar malo. Otro día por la mañana, también lo estaban velando. Antes de morir le dijo que me entierren con el sapo. Se encuentran dos tumbas juntas, la del cura y la del sapo. Se fue a llevárselo a Dios como su buen abogado. Por un lado de su cliente, como estar en el juzgado.
So is Chuy Vega a dude or a duo or what is...
I believe he's the singer.
Okay, because there's two dudes on the album cover on YouTube. And it looks like there's a lot of two dudes involved.
So say song and artist.
Well, the song's called El Sapo. It's by a singer named Chuy Vega. It's a corrido, so it means it's kind of like a crime song, I guess. It's hard for me to translate into English what it is. I was taken to a private rodeo when I was a kid, because here in the H, there are private rodeos. So you have your big livestock show and rodeo where they have the cowboys with their gear on to protect themselves. Well, you can go to these little rodeos out in the boondocks where the guys literally just jump on the back of a bull, no gear, just a hat with a rope tied around the bull, and they'll ride the bull. And they'll have a band out there. They'll be playing this type of music like they do it back home. And so we went to one, a friend of mine, and I felt really out of place. That's just really deep Mexican that I've never been exposed to a lot. So we're there, we're watching the rodeo, and they're doing all kinds of tricks on horses, no protective gear. Dudes hit the ground or they're breaking arms. I distinctly remember a guy riding a bull, and the bull threw its head back and caught him in the face and just destroyed his face. Like, the dude was bleeding. The bull's back was covered in blood.
You give me flashbacks to when I was a kid going to Fiesta and seeing the Mexican tabloids that would show grisly crime scenes and shit. That shit fucking scarred me.
And I remember at first I thought someone kept saying, oh, he just broke his nose. But when you saw, dude, like, you could see his teeth were all jacked up. Jaw was crooked. Because the bull had caught him just right on the face. It was a fucking wild experience to go out there. And they're playing this music and, you know, people are having a good time. And they're having these... I guess you would say unregulated rodeos, because dudes are just getting hurt left and right. And I remember thinking, because my buddy was like, you know, we had been to the rodeos down here, and, you know, they're wearing headgear and these fucking safety jackets on, and these dudes were just jumping on there, some of them in like a wife beater t-shirt and a cowboy hat, jeans and boots. I don't know, it's just, that's about as crazy as I can think of when it comes to this. This song always reminds me, because they were playing this type of music out there the entire time. And I must have been at the time maybe 13 or 14. I was a kid. And I remember we were out there, and it was just crazy. I don't know if they still have them, because, you know, it's different now. You would see that shit all over. I remember we would go to flea markets, and you could see people making bootleg DVDs of those rodeos. That's about it, man. I ain't got nothing cool on this one. It's just a song that kind of reminds me of this really crazy...
So what does he say in the song?
He's a sapo. I believe there's one part where he's talking about they cut off, like, 10 heads and throw them in the marketplace and let the people know. And at the end, he's talking about getting a good lawyer, basically, for all the shit he's done. They call him the Antichrist.
I thought I heard something in there about criminal or something like that. And I was like, what?
They refer to him as the Antichrist.
It's so weird because of the accordion. it just sounds upbeat.
Really?
Yeah, it just sounded like to my gringified ears. I'm just like, oh, he's just playing an accordion. It's probably some happy, because like polka, I think of polka as like you happy stuff.
In our generation, you think of Weird Al when you associate polka too, so it's all fairly upbeat.
Well, I knew this wasn't weird. I knew it wasn't Weird Al, but yeah, I do.
I was trying to find the lyrics because I've heard the song quite a few times. I'm assuming it's a really popular song. Like I said, I remember hearing it at that rodeo and that dude having his face just crushed, and they're escorting him. I don't even think they put him in the back of an ambulance. I think they put him like in the back of a truck and we're driving him to the hospital, and people just like, next guy. And I was just like, holy shit, this is crazy. But again, this was so long ago, man. I sometimes wonder if those things still go on. I'm sure they do, but
can you tell me anything about this act?
No,
because I'm trying to look them up on the internets and I keep getting redirected to other people. Can I get this translated?
Yeah, it was the same way with me too, and I was trying to find the lyrics to it. It was just like another song. I'm like, what?
Okay, so I'm gonna give you some jacked up Google translation. Chuy Vega and his new cadets. Mr. Jesus Vega Cuamea, better known as Chuy Vega, is from the town of Hornos, municipality of Cajeme in the state of Sonora. Chuy Vega was a member of the Cadets of Linares, which along with Mr. Lupe Tejerina toured much of Mexico and the United States. Chuy Vega decided to separate from the Linares Cadets, who had their residence in Monterrey, Nuevo León, been there. Chuy Vega was part of the legendary northern group Los Cadetas de Linares as the first voice, I guess lead singer. In 1992, Chuy Vega separates and forms a new group, which he baptized with the name of Chuy Vega and Los Nuevos Cadetes de Linares. Under this name, they released several albums and managed to place on the radio numerous successes, among which stand out Una Paginas Más, managing to sell more than 1 million copies and placing it in the popular songbook and in the repertoire of more than 60 artists who have recorded it in band, mariachi, and norteño style. Chuy Vega is the brother of the already fine singers Sergio Vega and Ramon Vega. See, these guys kept popping up when I was trying to Google search them. And others from the Vega Cuamea dynasty, who are in total 13 brothers. Sergio Vega, I believe, died by gun violence or something along those lines. Let's see. He is murdered while on his way to perform at a village festival concert in the Mexican state of Sinaloa. Gunmen traveling in a truck drove alongside his red Cadillac and opened fire on the vehicle. They then reportedly fired shots at Vega's head and chest from close range. Vega was a singer of Narcaco Corridos. Is that?
Yeah.
Ballads that celebrate the lives of drug dealers. Musicians who play this kind of music in Mexico are known to sometimes become the target of rival gangs. At least 7 of these musicians have been killed over the past 3 years in Mexico. Of course, this is Wikipedia, so 3 years is a relative term.
That's crazy to me, dude, because like, I know you were like, you're trying to compare it to like rappers, and I'm like, dude, he's playing an accordion. It's just so weird to me that that's like some straight up gangster music we were just listening to.
Well,
it's so weird.
Clearly originated gangster, because this shit goes back how far?
Shit, man. I can't.
Before your time, right?
Yeah. I remember them, I believe they would listen to it on like on AM radio and shit like that.
Well, I mean, Johnny Cash shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Just to watch him die.
I mean, that's pretty gangster stuff, too.
Yeah.
Also, a great hook for a Time Life book series.
So that's
shot 44 men, one just for snoring too loud. You know the bit. You guys remember those books, the Old West books that Time Life was hawking back in the 80s?
I remember the Supernatural one.
Yeah, all that paranormal.
Yeah, I remember those.
Probably the fuel for many a 4chan Reddit thread. Yeah.
A friend of mine, his dad, if you went to their house, remember back in the day you would go to someone's house and they would have like dictionaries or the encyclopedias. And I remember I went to my friend's house and his dad had the Wild West, the Supernatural ones. He had some that had about science and cars and like how things work. Popular mechanic type books. That's what their shelves were full of. And it was just... It was always so funny to go to
I at one time had a set of encyclopedias that I found in my grandmother's closet after she died. I lugged those around for a number of years. And so I'm well versed on extremely out of date factoids from the 1950s, including the racial subgroups of Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and Negroid, which I do not believe is in any way applicable in modern times, but it was something that I always remembered.
The last time I saw an encyclopedia was I was leaving a work thing at a restaurant/sports bar. This was probably 2011, and in the parking lot there were just 2 Encyclopedia Britannicas cast in the parking lot. Why? I don't know. Where were the other letters? I don't know. Why were there 2 Encyclopedia Britannicas? Because I remember I took a cell phone picture of them. I'm like, these are literally, they were just encyclopedias, and I'm using the term. Mm-hmm. They were actual Encyclopedia Britannicas. 2 of them, just in the parking lot.
I don't remember which one mine were. They got lost in a move, unfortunately. So they basically got stolen from me. So somebody really wanted 1954 or whatever year it was. encyclopedias, apparently.
I had a friend named Pete, and Pete's favorite thing was to go thrift stores and stuff like that. And I remember one day we drove out fucking way the fuck out in the country, me and another friend and him, because he really wanted to go. He kept telling us, hey, we're going to go to a sale. I'm like, all right, we'll go. Just check it out. So we're driving, and we were gone for a while. We get the fuck out to like some little small town I'd never heard of, and their library was going out of business. They were shutting their library. So they were selling all the books in the library, and they were going for like a quarter, between a quarter and $2, I remember. And he was buying just fucking rows of books, entire collections of encyclopedias, some kind of map series that had like maps of the world.
Sure, Alice.
Yeah. Yeah, just all kinds of, and I mean, this dude was just, we bought so, there was, the trunk was full and the back seat, it was just full of books. It was just so weird to go to a library just like, buy their entire inventory.
Yeah.
And no one was really buying anything. People were just kind of looking around.
Hopefully everything. He picked up Tropic of Capricorn.
It was just crazy. Seinfeld, they were selling
yeah. Seinfeld everything. Listeners. Seinfeld.
They were trying to sell everything. I remember the door. They were selling the door handles, the light fixtures.
That's extremely depressing.
This is how far back. Remember when you would go to school and they would put the little recorder and you had to put the headphones on to listen to whatever.
Real tape. Real.
No, the real to real. They were selling all those things. And I just remember he was buying all that shit. But he liked that stuff. So I just thought it was really weird. I never thought what happens to a library. When it closes,
yeah,
like what happens to all the books? And
well, I mean,
I now
libraries
know.
Liquidate books all the time though, so it's not that uncommon.
I never knew that. I just assumed.
Yeah, they have like book drives to help support them to
yeah,
buy
I
new
guess,
books. You
I
know,
guess,
you,
yeah.
You've only got, you got to find them out of space. Those books have to go somewhere.
True,
and often
that's true.
They get sold off. They're not getting checked out enough and they just sell the shit, you know, get some money.
Okay, so what's next?
Chicago. A man is about to get on a routine flight. Suddenly he pauses. He doesn't know why, but he's got to walk away. An hour later, the plane goes down in flames. It's dismissed as chance. Britain. A woman has a sudden image of a black mountain that's moving, with children trapped underneath it. 2 hours later, a Welsh schoolhouse is buried in an avalanche of coal slag. It's dismissed as coincidence. Northern Texas. An unidentified flying object is reported by at least a dozen people. Although there were no storms in the area, it's dismissed as lightning. Now, Time Life Books announces an important new library, Mysteries of the Unknown, a series that explores the most controversial phenomena of our time and tells you everything that can be known. The Midwest. A mother feels a sharp pain in her right hand. Far away at that exact same moment, her daughter screams as she touches a hot pan. Just chance? Or is it telling us something about our own untapped capabilities? Mysteries of the Unknown goes deeper into unexplained phenomena than ever before. It documents the facts and uncovers what people were never willing to talk about. Stonehenge. A visitor fashions a wire antenna in the shape of an ancient Egyptian symbol. He points it at the stones, and a surge of power rushes into his arm, knocking him unconscious. Was it all in his mind, or was it much more than that? To experience Mysteries of the Unknown, examine your first volume, Mystic Places, for 10 days free. Then decide if you want to dismiss it.
To order your first book, Mystic Places, call 1-800-342-2700. Examine it for 10 days. Keep it and pay just $12.99 plus $2.98 shipping and handling. Other books will follow, one about every other month. Keep only the ones you want. Cancel at any time. Call 1-800-342-2700.
This hour of music goes out to The 1-8 Sage, Adriano, Dr. Ange, Batted Shapirak, Bone Dragon Comic, Chronicles Podcast, Chris at Bat Books for Beginners, The Cinnabud Podcast, Delvin Dark Web Felix Leiter, Darren Franks, a.k.a. Devastator, Ezra Gallo, G.A. Sanchez, Ice in the Face, Indie Imprint, Into the Weird, Iowa's Joe Crawford, Jacket Spidey Memoir, Jared Ulrich, The Yard Sale Artist, Jason X117, Jeffrey Brown, Justice First Dawn, Keith G. Baker, Ken Stark, Chris Dottos, extra shout out to Pat Sampson, Long Box Crusade, Long Box of Darkness, Linnell Skaggs, Odell Abner Dracula, Olivia Balathica, Rad Adventures Podcasting Network, Randy Caldwell, Ryan Daly, Sean Michael Ortega, Secret Wars and Beyond Podcast, Seinfeld Podcast, Tim Price, Travis of Samaria, Trekker Talk, Wonder Woman, Warrior for Peace Podcast, and Zach Sally. Ryan Daly called in to say, as I've said on my own shows, I liked Prince throughout the 80s, but I really got into him in the late 90s. Something inspired me to get his Greatest Hits box set, and from there I went into deeper dives into his catalog. What inspired me to get the Greatest Hits, you ask? It was Beck's Midnight Vultures album. Love that album. Love the overt Prince homages. So after I listened to Deborah for the millionth time, I went back to the source. I was happy to hear Midnight Vultures get so much love on this episode. Also, I don't recall ever saying one word positive or negative about the song Mountains. Not sure where that came from. I'm pretty sure I heard it on Ryan and Neil Daly's tribute to Prince from a few years back. I think it was an FW Presents. And now Fire and Water Records exists, and they recently did an episode called Purple Rain that looked at Prince-alike artists. So check that out. 1-8 Sage called in to say, "Ah, Prince, a special, magical genius that took me too long to come around to, because I held a grudge against him for years after he ripped off the name being a simple thing from me, who totally had my name symbol set several years before he put his out. See my Insta avatar pic." Randy Caldwell wrote, "I am attempting to listen to the latest Spawnometer while listening to Prince music. Looks like it will be Controversy and Dirty Mind. I had to pause you for Doomy Baby. I have one AirPod in the left ear playing the podcast, and my classic cheese grater Mac with the subwoofer is playing Prince. I have all the music in my iTunes playlists. I mean, I bought it all years ago. I still have not found the ideal audio levels to listen to y'all and the future artists. I even have physical media. Hashtag think different. Hashtag media hub. I subscribe to your YouTube channel. I don't comment there, though. It's difficult to comment on your somewhat smart televisions. That's where I watch YouTube. Finally, Odell Abner Dracula dialed us to say, I recognize you guys can't do a new podcast every time someone drops dead, but I'm submitting a request for a Rocky Erickson episode. When none of us knew who Rocky Erickson was, he sent us a Charlie Brown cartoon where he goes rats. He also gave us a Prince-related link to comic book resources, and then he sent us a picture. Here it is. Less glamorous by daylight, I admit. This has been Del Dracula reporting live from somewhere up there, hashtag Minneapolis. And of course, there's a picture of the First Avenue Club made famous in the movie Purple Rain.
One song each is a Rolled Spine podcast. This is a not-for-profit fan production. Any copyrighted materials used is believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended. Please leave your comments and criticisms on our website. We especially encourage participation on this show. Feel free to call in and leave a request. Maybe you'll even get featured on the show. We thank you for your rapt attention.